This is Live Well Talk on Sports Therapy for Shoulder Injuries. I'm Dr. Dustin Arnold, Chief Medical Officer at Unity Point Health St. Luke's Hospital. Whether you're a baseball player, softball player, swimmer, or even recreational volleyball player, this episode is for you. Our guest today is Brock Yachty, a senior physical therapist with St. Luke's Therapy Plus. He brings a wealth of knowledge on the topic of shoulder injuries and overhead throwing sports and has firsthand experience recovering from an elbow injury as a college athlete. He now helps athletes regain their strength and mobility as a licensed athletic trainer and orthopedic certified specialist. Brock, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Arnold.
No, glad to have you. You know, I say this all the time. I think I've even said this to you, and you probably heard me say it on various podcasts. People underestimate how important your shoulders are, right?
Yep.
You know, I mean, I think particularly like shoulder surgery, shoulder injuries, you walk with your shoulders. People don't understand that, you know, until it happens, till they get in a sling and they're, you know, they're off balance, where I mean, you can have a full leg cast and you still have pretty decent balance because you have your shoulders. So I think the shoulder is one of those shoulder injury is one of those that can be quite frustrating to recover from.
For sure.
You know, it's not as predictable as a broken femur. And there is, as you know, and as we'll let our listeners know, I mean, it's held together by tendons and muscles, the shoulder joint, right?
Yep.
And so I'm quite fascinated about this. I know you do a lot with sports medicine, et cetera, but how common is shoulder injuries in your practice?
Fairly common. I mean, you know, we deal with a wide assortment of injuries. Obviously, one of the most common for our general population, back pain. But for the athletic population, especially, you know, we're getting into summer, getting into baseball, high school baseball, all those different things. Shoulder injuries, one of those more common things. And with it, it tends to be more whole body strengthening. Like, you know, we tend to think, oh, you know, it's a thrower, it's a shoulder injury, but like if there's weakness in multiple areas, that can put increased stress on that shoulder. So it's a pretty common injury, especially for, you know, younger kids, developing kids, high school pitchers. You know, you play every day. A lot of times in high school, you're playing multiple positions. So maybe you pitched and then you go play shortstop. Well, you got those throws across the field. All of those different things. And then swimmers, I mean, goodness, you know, how much effort does it take to get across the pool? And you're doing that every time. And if we're in a bad position, each little stroke can increase that stress through that joint. And it can be pretty detrimental pretty quickly for those athletes. So,
but it's not always, you know, I think people injure their shoulder and they're like, oh, I have a rotator cuff injury.
Sure.
Well, there's a lot more to the shoulder than just the rotator cuff. So what are some common injuries, specifically the shoulder joint, that you take care of?
Sure, sure. One of the most common, we would call it like an impingement, which is a pain on the front of the shoulder. We can feel it down into our biceps, or we can feel it kind of coming up into the neck. And a lot of that has to do with our posture. You know, how are we sitting right here? Are our shoulders forward? Are we up in a good position? That can create stress through the front of that shoulder. If our rotator cuff isn't strong enough, okay, that can allow that humeral head to slide forward. Because we always think of the shoulder and we're like, oh, you know, it's a ball and socket joint. Well, the ball and socket joint that we think of, you know, shoulder, hip, well, the hip is pretty well contained.
Shoulder
is that golf ball on a golf tee, and it can shift and forward and do a lot of different things.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you have all those muscles, tendons, ligaments, veins, arteries, nerves coming down that shoulder in a small area. And if that shifts forward, or we're putting pressure forward, that can create an irritation on those structures. So that's a pretty common one. I mean, a rotator cuff strain is one. Another one is kind of that upper trap neck pain, you know, is oftentimes how it presents. But, you know, if we're holding that shoulder up because of pain, weakness, other things, you know, we can have to deal with some of those things. So, and then weakness through your shoulder in the throwing athletes, swimmers, can present in the elbow, you know, because we're not doing something correct up here, but the stress is put on the elbow because we're not able to control that shoulder movement and some of those different things. So, while it, you know, we're here talking about shoulder injuries, it's, you know, ear to wrist of, you know, things that can be created because of shoulder weakness pain.
Yeah, that's interesting you say about the referred pain. I can recall two patients in my career that their carpal tunnel manifested as shoulder pain. But then when you did the full physical exam and the assessment, you discover it's carpal tunnel. But it was their shoulder that was bothering mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. So you can get that referred pain. You gave a great reference to the hip. That's a pretty secure. I mean, it's hard. Well, it's really hard unless it's a very forceful injury to dislocate your hip if it's not an artificial joint, right? You know, I mean, but it's doesn't happen a lot. But dislocating your shoulder is not an uncommon injury that can happen, particularly in football.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Or hockey, hitting the boards, crashing the boards. Because that shoulder joint is so susceptible to injury.
Yep. I mean, you know, I tell a lot of my patients, our shoulder joint is great because it's got so much mobility.
Right.
But our shoulder joint is a problem because it's got so much mobility.
That's a great way.
You know, we are given so much motion in our joint because it's an unstable joint. And so it's a double-edged sword there with that. And a lot of people don't recognize how much strength it takes to keep that shoulder in place. Especially when we're starting to put some of those higher velocities, swimming, volleyball, putting that stress through there. And if we aren't strong enough to control those motions, that's when we start to see some of those rotator cuff injuries or labrum injuries in that shoulder. And, you know, you can get those slippages of that humeral head kind of sliding forward. And so it's a beautiful joint because it allows us to do so much, but it's really one that can be a bear to kind of work through sometimes.
It always impresses me, and this is getting a little off the subject, but shoulder injury, but how patients can silently have, and we had Dr. Iberg on a podcast a while back, just silently have degeneration of their shoulder, a rotator cuff, and just have a complete tear and not recall like a specific injury.
Yeah.
But in your patient population, the weekend athlete, weekend warrior, or the student athlete, the mm-hmm. high school competitive athlete, they tend to have more of a thunderbolt or lightning strike sort of injury, don't they? I mean,
it's a pretty common thing to have that one instance. You know, weekend warriors, you know, maybe we didn't warm up quite as well, and we try to let one loose, and you feel it, and it's like, oh, that's not good. But, you know, high school athletes, it can be a little bit of that slow onset. I mean, maybe, you know, and this comes back to a thing I wanted to talk to you about, you know, younger ages pitching, whether it's peewee, little league, high school baseball, and whether it's pitch mechanics or, you know, pitch counts, some of those different things. You know, we think, oh, well, I feel fine, but there are other things that we see with throwing. So I wanted to bring this up, and it's kind of a similar thing, but like pitch counts and things like that, you know, there's a great things on the internet, you know, different ages saying, all right, 8 to 10, we shouldn't be throwing more than, I think it's 75 pitches, and, you know, that only kind of increases. But then it also breaks it down to if you've thrown 20 or more pitches, all right, you should take at least a day off from pitching and some of those things to make sure that we aren't having those younger kids getting these injuries. You know, obviously I'd love to be able to teach people enough to not have to utilize my services.
Right. Yeah. That's what we all desire is to be, idle, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's healthy and you don't have to do that. Talk about, cause I've always found this kind of fascinating. Okay. Jody Smith, I think was her name. Couple years behind me in high school, so this is in the mid 80s.
Sure.
But she like threw, she was a softball pitcher. Mm-hmm. She was good, and like she threw every night almost.
Sure.
You know, this Kennedy had maybe like one backup pitcher, mm-hmm. right? Because you know they could that motion is more natural or more conducive to the actual movement of the joint than the overhead baseball throw is actually kind of an unnatural movement.
Yep. And you know, you bring up the good point there of like softball.
Right.
Why are we talking about baseball versus softball and the mechanics of the throwing? I mean, like you say, the underhand throw, a little bit more natural, a little less stress through that rotator cuff musculature. you know, with the rotator cuff, you know, when we throw, we get that acceleration by bringing our body and getting the whip through there, and that external rotation. A lot of times the injury happens kind of on the deceleration, and that rotator cuff having to slow that arm down. And if it's in a bad position, that's that added stress through there. And so, you know, because of that overhead unnatural rotation that we put through there and stress that we put through there, yeah, definitely is more likely to create pain or some of those micro traumas that can ultimately lead up to true tears or things like that.
And you mentioned labrum, rotator cuff tear. How often is surgery necessary?
That's a tough question.
Okay.
You know, the you can have a strain of a rotator cuff muscle and we can rehab that and put things in a better position and calm that down. It kind of often depends on where the tear is and some of those different things. You know, if it's kind of at that musculotendinous junction, that's an area that's going to feel more stress when we're throwing, or kind of if you're getting down towards that tendon bone junction where it's kind of peeled off of the bone, that's going to be something that's probably more likely to need surgery. But, you know, the things that I tend to see when it's like, okay, this is probably going to lead more that way, some of those impaired movement patterns. So, you know, say somebody comes in and whether they fell on an outstretched hand or was a throwing injury, you know, rather than doing a normal shoulder motion and bringing that shoulder up, you know, you see something where they're pulling that whole thing up and they can't really get there and it's painful. And even sometimes when those complete tears, it may not even be painful, but you know, they just can't bring that arm up over about shoulder height. Those are the things where it's like, yeah, you should probably go talk to somebody else and see what the next step is.
Because I've only seen one patient that I took care of. I've obviously seen the x-rays of different patients, but they get that rotator cuff arthropathy. If you don't address these injuries, you kind of get a new joint that makes floats out there, and it leads to disabilities as they get older in life. You know, the arm becomes I think one of the frustrations that I have, and I know you have it, that I know our physical therapist and our athletic trainers experience this, is when you're dealing with high school athletes, you're under the pressure of time because it's a short season.
Sure.
You get that frustration, you know, a lot. I tell my youngest daughter, you need to rest your injury. Okay, so what, 2 days?
Yeah.
No. You know, it needs
for sure.
Probably 2 weeks, you know, but that's a lifetime to a 19-year-old, you know, 18-year-old. Yeah. They're like, whatever.
Yep. I think the big thing with that is explaining and trying to do your best to explain the not only short term, you know, okay, we'd rather sit you out and miss these two games here.
Right.
Versus try to play these two games and miss 2 weeks down the road, right, because we do have worsening of the injury. But also the, you know, and this sometimes is appealing to the parents more so than the athlete themselves, but say, you know, you don't want to have them try to push it now and ruin, you know, a future career or, you know, whatever sport they're playing. But also, you know, long-term ramifications for shoulder injuries as an adult, you know, picking up kids, playing with grandkids, like, you know, those things that as a 16, 17, 18-year-old, you're thinking about tomorrow and the next day, not 20 and 30 years down the road.
You know, most injuries, musculoskeletal injuries, even some medical concerns that are being transitory, or, you know, it's a good 6 to 8 weeks before your body's completely healed.
Yep.
That is that's a lifetime to a high school athlete.
That was half the season.
Yeah, if not two-thirds of it, you know, depending on the season. And so, yeah, you tell a bit, you know, it's always a frustration. Understandable. I totally get it. But it's always a frustration when I've had to care for those patients.
For sure. I think that comes back to the point that I was trying to make about, like, put myself out of business and not needing our services, you know, starting early, you know, and making sure we're looking top down, like talking about shoulders. But with the throwing process, you know, the best pitchers in the world, you know, you can see how developed they are through their hips, their core, you know, and utilizing the whole body and making sure that we're looking at it from a total body aspect. I mean, there's a couple studies out there that looked at some balance testing, you know, the day after somebody pitched or a pitcher pitched, and their balance score on this test was fairly significantly different. And so, you know, when we talk about resting, it's not only resting your arm and recovering from your arm, but it's your whole body and making sure that we address all of those issues when we do have shoulder pain. You know, are we strong enough through our legs? Are we utilizing our legs the way that we should be?
Well, it goes back to the opening statement. You know, your shoulders play a huge role in your mechanics, in your body motion, and your shoulders play a role in running. You know, I mean, so it is all connected. And I think that's where the advantage of the multi-sport athlete comes, where they have an overall balance in their conditioning and their muscle use and less injuries. You know, I always joke, coaches love multi-sport athletes as long as their primary sport is the one that they coach.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, that's, I always make that joke. So to the coaches out there before you start, you know, when this statement here is going to be controversial from a standpoint, there's going to be some, there's not a right answer, but if I have a shoulder injury, when should I get an MRI?
When you're ready to have surgery. And I put that as, like, you know, obviously we see patients all the time. They've come from their physician, they've gotten an x-ray, and they're like, well, the x-ray doesn't show anything, you know, when should I get an MRI? And oftentimes there's other factors there, but, you know, they're sent to us and, okay, let's try to rehab this thing. I can't tell you how many of my patients are like, well, I want an MRI, but I don't want surgery. And I'm like, well, then you don't want an MRI, because the MRI tells us whether or not you're potentially going to need surgery. If you're not ready for surgery or have no want to have surgery, then there's no, you
just
know,
keep, that's, the, that's the, good advice.
The rehab that we're going to do is probably fairly similar, regardless of whether we know it's a labrum tear, rotator cuff tear. We're going to work on strengthening up the tissues around that shoulder joint, improving the position of that shoulder joint. And you know, it's not going to change whether I know it's a labrum tear or a rotator cuff tear. It's going to be like, okay, we're going to strengthen up primarily these structures around there, so you're in a better position to move from, work from. That's, you know, there's no like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks. It's like, are you in enough pain and at the point in your life where you're ready to have surgery? If yes, okay, it might be time to look at that. If not, then there's really no advantage to us to know whether it's this tear, that tear, or nothing.
Because you're going to strengthen the generalized
apparatus. We're going to improve the positioning. We're going to try to strengthen up everything in that area.
Well, that's probably the, that's a great answer, really. I mean, that's an answer I think people can understand. I would say personally, my own, I feel much more confident in my knee exam to say, okay, this is, you know, meniscal, this is cruciate, this is anterior collateral, whatever. I feel stronger in that than I do my shoulder exam. That's just a lot. I don't do a lot of shoulder exams, right? You know, and I'm sure you do enough of them, you're like, okay, that's, feel pretty comfortable, that's a labral tear, et cetera. So I do catch myself probably ordering a shoulder MRI sooner, just because to build confidence in my diagnosis, and where the knee, it's less of the time. But that's an interesting, that's, I like that approach. You know, unless you're ready for surgery, you're just going to generally strengthen.
Yep. Yep. You know, we're focusing on total body strengthening, shoulder rotator cuff strengthening,
that's a great,
go from there.
That's a great philosophy. For listeners, how can athletes get into Therapy Plus?
So most of the time, I mean, obviously, if you're having pain, hopefully you're making sure that your primary care doctor is aware of it. And that's, again, having good relationships with your primary care doctor and seeing them when you need them. But, you know, a lot of times if it's not a fall related thing and no traumatic injury to it, if you message your physician, call your physician and say, hey, I've had some shoulder pain, can I do some therapy? Most physicians will write that order pretty quickly without needing to see them. You know, if you do have something, you know, you can always go to an urgent care or to get checked out if you're concerned about that. But then, you know, ask for a referral to physical therapy, and we've got our four locations kind of throughout the metro area here that, you know,
You document an Epic electronic health record, goes back, because I get you guys' reports when my patients go. That's what I thought.
They'll be able to see what we tested, where we're at, you know, the plan moving forward, and go from there. Yep.
All right. Well, the high school physicals will start up here soon. Some family practice have already started doing them. So try
to get them in early in the summer. So yeah, they aren't all waiting until end of August to cram everybody in. Yep,
that is so true. Hey, Brock, thanks for stopping by and joining me and sharing with our listeners some great philosophy on common shoulder injuries and the sports therapy services that are available at Therapy Plus. Once again, this is Brock Yachty, Senior Physical Therapist with St. Luke's Therapy Plus. If you're interested in learning more about sports therapy and injury prevention, visit unipoint.org. Thank you for listening to Live Well Talk On. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe. And if you want to spread the word, please give us a 5-star review and tell your family, friends, neighbors, strangers about our podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcast. Until next time, be well.